God bless you, and welcome to Spirit and Truth Fellowship International's audio podcast. Our goal is to provide you with Bible-based teachings that will help you walk in a transforming relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope you will be inspired by what you're about to hear.
God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. My name is Dave Hansen, and I'd like to share with you on Perfecting the Saints. In March of 2009, Dan Gallagher and Mike Patton from Spirit and Truth came to New England to help us be better ministers of God's Word. This visit of theirs was different from my past ministry experiences because they came to do what we wanted and needed them to do. Now, what I mean by that is, Dan actually called me several times and said, what would you like us to teach? What would you like us to share? How can we help you? How can we minister to you? What do you need? And this was so foreign to me because in my past ministry experiences, people would come with their teaching and just say, hey, I'm coming to teach on the hope. I'm coming to teach on love. I'm coming to teach this teaching. And I'd say, great, come on in and teach. But here, Dan and Mike were coming to teach what we needed, not just to make us happy, but to enable us to be better at serving God's word in our area after they went home. Now, they taught the topics of gifts and callings, among many great things, and two great insights really came up for me. Number one was, each of us Christians truly is a vital member of the body of Christ. Each and every born-again one of us is important to the Lord Jesus Christ. And number two, each of us Christians has unique gifts and callings, not just to put on a shelf someplace, but to use to serve and help build the body of Christ. In other words, we're involved here. We're involved in the building of the body of Christ. And how exciting is that? How exciting it is that we are actually wanted and needed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations. Now, interestingly, what he did not say was, go make sheep of all nations, and make every 100th one a disciple. You see, the vision was not these different classes of Christians. You've got your small cadre of leaders who are the doers. Then you've got the vast number of us who just sit back and listen and learn and come back next week. See, that's not the goal of the body of Christ. When God chose how to describe this body of Christ, he used the idea of a physical body with Jesus Christ as the head. Well, just like in a physical body, all the parts are necessary. Every part of our human body has a unique, specific need to help the whole body work well. Well, the same is true in the body of Christ. We are all vital members of that body of Christ, and each of us has unique gifts and callings to serve and help build that body of Christ. Now, today I just want to start in Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 22. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. The body of Christ is referred to here as God's dwelling place, this building, this temple. And it says we are being built, which means it's not finished yet. We're still a work in progress. Now, what's interesting to me about that is, since we're being built, since it's not finished yet, what exactly would the finished product look like? Now, of course, we know about the future kingdoms, and that's when these verses will truly be realized in their entirety. But there's a verse in chapter 4 that sort of gives us a picture of what that might look like. Look at chapter 4, please. Chapter 4, verse 13, gives us an interesting picture of what this goal might look like, of what this body might look like. Verse 13 reads, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, so there's a unity involved here, but look at this next phrase, until we all become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, maybe this is obvious to everyone else, but what struck me so interesting is it reminded me that the will of God is that each Christian, each of us, not only do we become unified with each other, but we each are to become mature. That's the goal. The goal is not for some of us to be mature, some of us to do, some of us to serve, and the rest of us to relax in the hammock. No, the goal is for us all to be unified, like it says, and then for all of us to become mature. Okay, newsflash, we haven't quite arrived yet. We're not there quite yet. But it does give us a goal. It does give us a vision, if you will, of where we can go. And don't worry, we will look at the context of this first. But before we do, I just wanted to set out how this teaching is going to be set up. The teaching will have four interrelated parts. First, we're going to look briefly at the Greek word teleos, which here in Ephesians 4:13 is that word mature. We're going to look at that because that word is very, very interesting and it gives us a picture of where we want to go. Secondly, we are going to look at the context of Ephesians 4:13, and that's why I would suggest you keep a ribbon or keep a piece of paper there, so because we'll be coming back. Next, we're going to look at a second Greek word, the Greek word katartizo, which in King James is translated perfecting. And it's different than teleos. It has a different meaning. It's perfect, but in a different sense. So we'll look at that as well. And then finally, we'll look at a man, the Apostle Paul, who got it. A man who was arguably the most mature believer in the Grace Administration. You know, when you think about maturity, you think about the Apostle Paul. He was all over this. And really, wouldn't that be a great goal? What would it be like if each of us believers arrived at the point of maturity that the Apostle Paul had? Now that would be some fellowship. That would be some powerful church, wouldn't it? And obviously it wouldn't start on day one, but our goal would be to build each of us to get to the point where we each could serve and function and love like the Apostle Paul did. So let's go back to part one. We're going to look at this Greek word teleos, and the first two uses of it show up in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, the first two uses of teleos show up. And I'm reading from the New International Version here, by the way. Verse 48 reads, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Okay, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That should be a breeze, shouldn't it? And here I thought we'd have something hard to do, huh? No, just be perfect like God. Oh, okay. Piece of cake. I can do that. Thankfully, this word perfect, teleos, does not mean without mistakes. If it did, most of us would be done before breakfast. No, this word perfect, teleos, means fully mature. Fully mature. Thayer defines this in his lexicon as brought to its end, finished, wanting nothing necessary to completeness. Or perfect. See, it's kind of like fully ripened, fully mature. This is where we want to get. And this is a great Greek word. It shows up in a lot of fantastic places in the Bible. And right here, it's interesting because we could translate it mature. And then verse 48 would read, "Be mature, therefore, as your heavenly Father is mature." And I know what you're thinking. Oh, that sounds easy too. We'll just be as mature as God is. Well, the context saves us on this one because we're going to read chapter 5, verses 43 and following here. Verse 43 reads, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect or mature, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect or mature." You see, this maturity involves loving people above the world standard. In the world, people love because they want something. I'll do something for you if you do something back for me. But that's not how God loves. God loves this big. God loves regardless of whether people deserve it, whether we're worthy of it, whether we even respond to it. And we're to love in that same way. This standard of maturity is to love to the point where we love anyway. when Jesus gave the first two great commandments. Remember in Matthew 22? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. We're to love our neighbor anyway. It doesn't have a caveat which says, love your neighbor when he's nice to you, love your neighbor when he's worthy. It just says, love your neighbor as yourself. And isn't that how God loves? Remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now think about that. Did the world deserve the Lord Jesus Christ? No. Has the world responded to the Lord Jesus Christ? Certainly not entirely. But God loved anyway. I think of the great parable Jesus taught in Luke chapter 15 about the two sons. Remember, one of the sons, the younger one, takes his inheritance, leaves his family, and goes and just spends it all and blows it all. He comes to his senses and says, you know what? I'm going to go back to my father, and I'm just going to be a servant, because after all, I'm not worthy to be the son. Well, he goes back, and the father sees him and runs to him and hugs him and fully forgives and restores that son into the full family. Now, why would Jesus have taught that parable? Except to communicate the marvelous love of God, that great love that God has, where he understands that we're not perfect. He loves us anyway. As we say, he loves us, he knows all about us, and loves us anyway. That's our God, that's our Father. I thought about Ephesians 5, you don't have to turn there, but verse 1 says, be imitators of God as dear children. And then verse 2 begins, and walk in love. See, we imitate our Father in heaven by walking in love. This standard of maturity, this word teleos, it is defined by love. And that's very interesting because that's how Jesus loved, didn't he? Remember the leper came to him and said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And what did Jesus reply? I will. And he healed the man on the spot. How often did Jesus just step in and heal people, love people, minister to people? See, Jesus loved that way. And was he always treated well? Was he always blessed back for all his giving and loving? Jesus Christ loved this way. And this maturity then, because Jesus Christ, I think, could be qualified as mature. In fact, interestingly, this word mature is used in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 10, where it says, when that which is perfect is come, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is fully mature. He's arrived, and he showed that by this love that he had. So our goal to be this maturity has to involve love. We cannot get to the point of maturity with God without developing a long suit in love. And remember back from Ephesians 4 that was the goal, that we all become unified and that we all become mature. So it's going to involve love. It's going to involve us developing that love for each other. Let's go back now to Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll start the next section of this teaching. And we'll look at the context of this verse 4:13. And we understand this maturity a little bit now. We understand that it's going to involve loving. And, again, the goal, that we are all this way, that we all grow up in this kind of love. Now let's look at chapter 4 again. Let's pick it up here in verse 11. Verse 11 says, it was he, Jesus Christ, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Now, verse 12 is what they're for. To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And then, until what point, for what goal? Verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become what? Mature, teleos, perfect. In other words, these equipping ministries, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, they're to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ can be built up. Again, to the point, to what point? So that we're all unified and that we're all mature. Interestingly, to prepare God's people, verse 12 says, for works of service. You see it again? God's people. We're all doing the works of service. It's not that the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It's not that these equipping ministries do all the work. No, they come and help us, much like Dan and Mike did. They came and equipped us here in New England so we could minister in New England when they return to Indiana. That's the long-term goal here. It's not just a teaching. Hey, here's a nice teaching. Thanks. Have a nice day. See you next year. No, the idea is a ministering. And we're so grateful to Dan and Mike for coming and ministering to us so that we can now minister to each other, so we can continue to serve our Lord Jesus Christ here in New England. So let's read it one more time. Verse 11, it was he, Jesus Christ, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service. You see, God and Jesus Christ understand that to build maturity in people, some people are going to have to do that. But the goal is not just some, the goal is all. It will start with some, but as those who begin continue to build the work, you see more and more people reaching out, with the goal that we all become unified and that we all become teleos, mature, walking in great, great love. Look at verse 14 now. Verse 13 again was the goal, until we all reach unity, until we're all mature. And then verse 14. This is door number two, what it is not. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. That's definitely not good. I have two wonderful sons, Luke and Nate. And being sons, being boys, being 4 years old and 2.5 years old, they run and bump and fall and knock and everything. And it's so precious when this happens, because when they run and knock each other over, they'll look at each other and just say, that's not good. That's not good. Well, verse 14, being blown about, that's not good. We'd rather just proceed to verse 15. It says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we. We whom? We. Well, it's the same we all from back in verse 13. We all. Instead of speaking the truth in love, we all will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. You see, verse 15 is bringing all of us to the point of maturity so that we're all speaking the truth. How? In love. What kind of fellowship is that when everybody who comes speaks the truth in love? What kind of a community does that become when the believers all speak the truth in love? How exciting is that? And then look at verse 16. It says, of course, verse 15, we'll go up into him who's the head, that is Christ. Then verse 16, from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. Now look at this next phrase, and it's not in italics, as each part does its work. Isn't that remarkable? It's not supposed to be just the equipping ministries. No, the equipping ministries prepare us, they help us, they minister to us. But the goal is that they minister to us not so we can sit in the hammock and be blessed lying in our hammocks. No, they minister to us so that we can now reach out and minister to someone else. And then that person can turn around and minister to someone else. That's the goal here. That's how the body of Christ is to work. Certainly you need equipping ministries. But their job is not just to pontificate. There's a great word for you. No, their job is to prepare God's people, to build God's people so that God's people can do works of service. And again, to that goal of verse 13, that to get unity and to become mature for each of us. And this brings us to part three of the teaching here, this word from verse 12. Look at verse 12 again, please. See, we had the equipping ministries of verse 11, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then you get to verse 12, and it says, to prepare God's people. Now, this word prepare is the second Greek word I wanted to bring up. It's the Greek word katartizo, and it comes from the word artios in Greek, which means perfect or fully equipped. And it's different than maturity. It's different than teleos. This word is not meaning mature as much as it means equipped with all the right stuff. This katatizo word means to equip someone so that they lack nothing. And that's what these equipping ministries do. They come to perfect us, not make us without sin. That would be nice. No, they come to equip us so that we have the necessary tools that we need to do what we want to do, which is serve God and serve his people. Now, interestingly, Thayer translates this word to strengthen, perfect, complete, make one what he ought to be, or to fit out, to equip, to make complete. See, this word is used, the understanding of this word is that you would have everything you need to be able to do your job. And isn't that what verse 12 says? It's to equip, to perfect, if you will, God's people for works of service. And again, for the goal, not that we can't say this too many times, the goal that we all become unified and that we all, each of us, becomes mature. Now let's look at Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to look at a little progression here around this word, katartizo. Hebrews chapter 13, please. And we're going to pick it up in verse 20. It says, "May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you." That's this word, perfect, katartizo. And I like the word perfect for katartizo because it's not just equipping someone with useless things. In other words, God could equip us with 10 million balloons. Now, are we equipped? Oh, we're equipped. We're equipped. We're equipped with 10 million balloons. Now, that's great for all you birthday party fans. However, that doesn't equip us with what we need to do. See, with what we need to do. And that's where we want to go. The equipping is with what we need to do. And that's fascinating to me. You see, look at the rest of this verse here. It says, verse 21, it begins, right? God here, he equips, he makes us perfect. And look at this now. He perfects us, I'm going to use perfect here, with everything good for what? Doing his will. You see, that's katartizo. God doesn't come in just to equip us with balloons or clothespins. He equips us with everything good for doing his will. How loving is that? How loving is that? That God would perfect and equip us with what everything good for doing his will. What a great verse. What a great Father in heaven we have. Equipping us, perfecting us with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So God through Christ is going to equip us, to perfect us, to give us everything we could possibly need. Isn't that fascinating? Isn't that great? And that's why I like that word perfect there. Let's look at another verse about Jesus Christ here too. Now, this is in 2 Thessalonians, please, chapter 2. Now, this verse doesn't have the word katartizo in it, but I like this verse because Jesus Christ is certainly involved with this process as well. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, please, and look at verse 16. It says, "May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in what?" In the hammock. No. In every good deed and word. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ encourages and strengthens us too. And then, of course, we have the equipping ministries who perfect us. Now, look at the progression here. First, you have God wanting to and willing to perfect us, to equip us with everything good for doing his will. Jesus Christ wants to encourage and strengthen us. And then Jesus gave the equipping ministries to perfect or equip us saints for works of service till we all become unified and mature. Now, should the progression stop here, do you think? Should we just sit back and say, boy, I'm sure glad God's doing it, I'm sure glad Jesus is doing it, and I'm sure glad the equipping ministries are doing it? My response is no. I think we all can do this. I think we can all equip each other, perfect each other. Clearly, perfecting the saints is important to God and to Jesus Christ. It's important to God, obviously, because he does it. And it's important to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave equipping ministries, men and women's hearts and souls, for the purpose of equipping us. Would Jesus Christ waste the time of these men and women? I mean, if it's this important to God and to Jesus Christ, don't you think it's something that each of us could and should do as well? Certainly. Look at Galatians, please. I'll show you one more. Galatians chapter 6. Again, this word katartizo, this equipping, this perfecting. Look at Galatians chapter 6. We'll look at verse 1, please. It reads, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently." You see that word restore? It's katartizo. It's perfect. Now that's interesting. First of all, who is supposed to do this? Well, let's read it more carefully. "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are what? Spiritual." It doesn't say you who are an equipping minister, you who are a teacher, you who are the head of your congregation. It doesn't say that. It says you who are what? Spiritual. Well, aren't we spiritual? Don't we have the gift of Holy Spirit? Aren't we able to work with God and Jesus Christ? You know, doesn't God work in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure? Certainly. We are all to restore each person. Now, it's interesting that perfect is here, or equip, because someone caught in sin will need different things to be equipped than someone who has a broken leg. If you're going to perfect somebody with a broken leg, they need to be healed. But to perfect somebody caught in a sin, they don't necessarily need their leg healed. They need their heart healed. They need God's forgiveness, his warm love. They need his tenderness, his gentleness. Or they might need some direct words of reproof to get them back to where they can do what God wants. Remember, God equips us with everything good to do his will. Well, our job here in chapter 6, verse 1, is to restore and perfect someone caught in a sin. Not so we can condemn them, not so we can bury them in their sin, not so we can tell the whole universe about everything they did wrong, but rather to help them get back, to help them become mature, to help them help others become mature. You see the progression again? We don't want people wallowing in sin, because if they are, they can't minister to someone else. They can't build somebody else up. You see, the body of Christ, we work together so that each of us can build each other. Because if I can build up you, then you're able to help someone else. In fact, if I can build up you, next week I might need you to come back and build up me. And isn't that beautiful how the body of Christ works so well together? So each of us is to do this. And I think that's remarkable. Each of us is to do this. Now, before we go on to part 4 and really look at the Apostle Paul more in depth, I just want to review a couple of points here. First of all, as we saw from Ephesians 4:13, God and Jesus Christ want each one of us to be unified and mature, teleos. And we've seen that this word teleos involves, or shall we say, is defined almost by an ability and a desire to love. To get mature as God, we need to love like God did. We need to love above the world. We need to care about this. Number 2, God and Jesus perfect and equip us to serve. God Almighty gives us what we need, everything good to do his will that we need. Jesus Christ encourages and strengthens us for that same purpose. And then number 3, Jesus Christ, again, he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip or perfect us. So we can make this our goal too, to perfect and equip each other, to bring us all to the point of maturity. Now we're going to look at the Apostle Paul. Paul, again, was arguably the most mature believer in the grace administration. And if we were all going to become that mature, we would all become like the Apostle Paul. And Paul understood. You see, he understood from having worked with the Lord Jesus Christ directly, he understood that his job was to build and strengthen the saints so that they, in turn, could reach and build others. Now, the Apostle Paul, we're going to read about him in the book of 1 Thessalonians. So please go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 in verse 1. It says, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. And that's important. We're going to talk about that a little more later. Verse 6, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And now look at verse 7. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Why this is remarkable is, here's Paul, he's saying, look, we know how you responded to the word because other people are telling us. Paul didn't just go to Thessalonica, do some great teachings, and say, hey, see you next year. No, his goal was to go to Thessalonica, minister to those saints, and look what happened afterward. Those saints moved into Macedonia and Achaia. They moved God's word. They went and taught about Jesus Christ. They ministered, so much so that those people who heard it would tell Paul. Yeah, those Thessalonians you worked with, they continued it. They grew in maturity. They served others. See, that's the goal here. Paul was ministering to these saints so that they could in turn minister to other saints. Now let's look at chapter 2. There's some great verses here too. Chapter 2, let's jump down to verse 7, please. Chapter 2, verse 7. It reads, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Isn't that great? Paul loved these guys. They came in to just bless and love these guys. Now, let's jump down to verse 11, please. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Now look at that. You know, verse 11, that we dealt with each of you. We dealt with each of you. It wasn't some big mass teaching. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, they came in and dealt with each individual believer. And how did they do it? As a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God. You see Paul's heart. You see these men, they don't just go to Thessalonica to teach and leave. They go, they teach, but they equip, they perfect, they encourage. And what was the goal of this? That these Thessalonian believers would be unified and mature, just like Ephesians 4 talked about, remember? And it worked in Thessalonica because, as we read from chapter 1, these Thessalonian believers went out to Macedonia and Achaia, and their faith was spread abroad. Well, that was what Paul was looking for. That's what Paul wanted. He didn't just want his books published. He wanted these believers to take his words and for them to publish it all over the place. That was the goal. The goal was to perfect the saints so they can move on, so they can do better, so they can serve. It's just like that verse in Hebrews 13 about God, how God equips us with everything good for doing his will. Well, Paul was doing that too. Paul was equipping these saints with everything good so they could go on and do the will of God. Now, let's jump down to verse 17, please. This whole book is, I love 1 Thessalonians. It just always jazzes me. But look at verse 17, please. Chapter 2, verse 17. But brothers, when we were torn away from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. Now that's interesting. There's an intense longing by Paul. They made every effort to see them. He loved these guys, and he had an intense longing to go and see them. All right, that becomes important. I don't want you to forget that. He's got a heart to help these people. He wants to come see them. Why? Why does he want to come see them? Well, we're going to get there. But first, let's go to chapter 3. Let's keep reading. And let's look at verse 1. Paul writes, "So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens." So where's Paul? Paul's in Athens. Where would he like to be? He'd like to be in Thessalonica, ministering to these saints. But he's in Athens. So he doesn't say, well, too bad. Sorry. He does the next best thing. It says in verse 2, "We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ." Why did they send Timothy? Why did they send Timothy? Well, keep reading the verse. It says, I'll read the whole verse again. It says, "We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ." Why? "To strengthen and encourage you in your faith." Just like Jesus Christ encourages and strengthens them in their faith, Paul sent Timothy to strengthen and encourage them in their faith. You see, that's the goal here. Paul's heart, Paul's level of maturity was to the point where he understood that he invested his life in the lives of others to get to build them so that they in turn could invest their lives helping others. That's how this body of Christ grows, with each of us interrelatedly helping each other, all working together to bless each other, to build each other, to strengthen and encourage us all in our faith. Does it begin with equipping ministries? Yes, but it certainly doesn't end there, and it certainly isn't limited to equipping ministries. Hey, we become equipped so we can do the works of service, and now we can restore. Remember Galatians 6:1? We can perfect. We can equip. That's our goal. Now let's keep reading in chapter 3. Remember, from chapter 2 in verse 17, they had that intense longing to see these Thessalonian believers. We'll jump down in chapter 3 to verse 9, please. Look at this guy's heart. And what's great, too, is this is by revelation. In other words, Paul's not making this up about himself. Hey, this will sound good on the newscast. No, this is, he's not making this up. This is God telling him what to write. So you know this is really what happened. Verse 9 says, "How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly." Why? "That we may see you again." There's that intense desire again. "That we may see you again and supply what is what? Lacking in your faith." And guess what that word supply is? That's right, katartizo. "That we might equip or perfect what is lacking in your faith." See, Paul's heart to be with these people was to go and help them be better, to supply everything good so they could do the will of God. Now, we can sit around and wait for someone to equip us. We can always make excuses about why we're not involved. But that's not Christianity. That's not God's vision. That's not the Lord Jesus Christ's vision. They want us to be unified and fully mature. And mature to the point where, like those equipping ministries, we equip. We perfect each other. We help build each other. You see, we can make the decision to relax and not be involved, or we can make the decision to read ourselves into the Word of God. We can read ourselves into the Word of God and love people like God does, like Jesus did and does, and like the Apostle Paul did. We, each of us, can fully invest ourselves in loving and perfecting each other. We, each of us, can speak the truth in love. We, each of us, can encourage and strengthen each other. And we, each of us, can perfect and equip each other with everything good that we can all grow in full maturity in Christ, just as our Lord Jesus Christ wants us to. God bless you.
The teaching you just heard was a presentation of Spirit and Truth Fellowship International. For further study, we encourage you to visit our research website, truthortradition.com. If you would like to get your copy of this teaching on CD or tape, you can go online at our home website, stfonline.org/store, or call us toll-free at 888-255-6189. Again, that's 888-255-6189. God bless you.